Good morning and welcome to Discovering Responsible Wealth. I'm your host, Frank Congelos. Today's topic is we're going to be talking a little bit about planning your estate and making sure that your life's work works out the way that you'd like it to be. Our guest today is Bob Munoz of Lamoro, Davison, Eastman, and Munoz. And Bob, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us here today.
It's good to be here.
Great. Bob, so, before we get started, just, 89.7 The Bridge is a Christian-based station, and, just as a, as we get started, a little proverb here, 13:22, the good leave an inheritance to their children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the just. And it's interesting is, when we think in terms of, estate planning, wealth planning, and so forth, we're usually talking about taking care of somebody else. And with that in mind, why don't we start by, just talking about, very basic estate planning in the state of New Jersey. If someone hasn't done anything, what actually plays out? What does it look like?
Well, in the state of New Jersey, everyone has a will, even if they don't have a will by statute. And the statute determines how your property will be distributed. However, that distribution system may not be the one that one would want for their particular estate. In addition, it doesn't have the introduction of any trusts to protect children. So children would get their money at 18 and not be protected until they were older.
Gotcha. And, it's interesting is a lot of times when, I meet with clients and we're talking about financial, planning, estate planning, whatever the case might be, everybody always kind of thinks that estate planning and planning for wills and so forth are really for the wealthy. But, my experience over the years is that if you don't do anything, I've seen more families fighting over money, hard feelings, and so forth. And, my guess is you've seen the same thing because you see it probably with people that are doing planning, and then you're seeing the end result of the people that did no planning and come to you after the fact. So what are you seeing in terms of that?
Well, just because you think you don't have an estate that's large enough to be taxed does not mean you don't need estate planning. I've seen people fight over things like Tupperware. So it's something that everyone needs to do because you want to make sure that the plan that you're going to leave behind is your plan and not a plan created by either the state by statute or by a court by some determination made by a judge who may not have the same interests in mind that you do.
With that in mind, so if we were to just, really start getting down to what I call the down and dirty, which is what are the basic estate instruments that someone should be utilizing? Okay, and what is it that they have to make sure that they're doing as it relates to that? So why don't we just start with some of the basic tools that they should utilize?
The most important tool, of course, for death is the will. The will provides for how your property will be taken care of upon your death, may, if you have minor children, appoint a guardian, and create trust for those children. And we provide in all of our wills a special needs trust to provide for people who might be special needs people, either at the present time or in the future. And then we try to plan the estate far enough down through the will so that there's enough taken care of so they don't have to do a will over and over again. The other documents that are important are a durable power of attorney, which takes care of your finances while you're alive if you're unable to take care of your finances, someone appointed for you, the agent. And the final document that we usually recommend to our clients is a living will and health care proxy, and that's basically a power of attorney for your body. Determines who makes the decisions from during your last illness, and also who makes decisions for you if you can't make decisions because you're under anesthesia or somehow disabled.
Gotcha. So, Bob, when we look at those three documents and, if we were really, trying to refine somebody's planning, how often, if you've put some documents in place and so forth, how often should these documents even be updated when we look at that? Because I've run across people from time to time and, document be 10, 15 years old, and it all of a sudden we look at it and it's like, well, they got more children, they have grandchildren, whatever the case might be. So how often should a document be revised or looked at?
The last one I looked at yesterday was prepared in 1995, so and this is 2012. So it needs to be looked at much more often than that. Usually I recommend to clients that they think about their plan annually at tax time when they have all of their documents in front of them in terms of their finances. But I think every 3 years they ought to have a formal review, probably with an attorney or with a financial advisor.
Very good. And if we stay with really, kind of two themes, now that we understand what the basic documents are, and one theme is, what I refer to as the tax theme, which is, as it relates to taxes, what is the tax situation for people? Do they have to worry about estate taxes, New Jersey inheritance tax, whatever the case might be?
Yes, there are three taxes to be concerned about. Two are in New Jersey. One is the federal. The problem with the federal right now is it's $5 million is the exemption this year, which is just wonderful for most people. However, it's going to go to $1 million at the end of the year if there is no action by Congress. So that's a little bit in play right now. But New Jersey hasn't been in play. Any estate over $675,000 will pay a tax. But in addition to that, there's another tax called the transfer inheritance tax. So if you leave property to certain classes of individuals, there's an additional tax based upon if you leave it to friends or something of that nature over and above the inheritance tax, the estate tax. And the estate tax and the inheritance tax come together at some point if you're leaving enough property to people who fall into those classifications. When you leave property to your family, your lineal descendants, like your family, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, you don't have to worry about that transfer inheritance tax, but you do have to worry about the estate tax. And in New Jersey, it's easy to qualify for $675. If you have a life insurance policy, you could have a modest life insurance policy of $300,000 and have a home of $300,000 and then have an IRA in excess of $200,000, and now you've got a taxable estate.
Gotcha. So it's pretty easy, especially in the state of New Jersey, to get there between real estate, insurance, et cetera. Between husband and wife, any issue there?
There's no tax when you leave property to your spouse. However, the government's very sly. They'll wait till everything's in one pocket, and then the tax rates, of course, are higher for those individuals.
Gotcha. So it's kind of like, everybody gets their own little credit, but if you don't do the proper planning, you may lose a credit.
Correct.
Is what you're saying.
Right now, if you don't use your credit in New Jersey and you leave everything to your spouse, you only have your spouse's credit. If you use both credits wisely, then you can leave over $1.3 million to your children tax-free.
See, and when I hear that, and just from my years of experience in giving financial advice, one of the key elements of that is to make sure that when you're dealing with an attorney, that a sweetheart will, which is often done just husband and wife back and forth, that may not always suffice. And what you actually need is someone who has some level of expertise in planning estates so that they can plan for the tax side of what's occurring. Is that fair?
That's correct. And even for people who won't come in oftentimes to us for sweetheart wills, we'll demonstrate the advantages to doing some tax planning. Or even if they're not at the level where you need planning, we'll be ready for that because the assets could increase in value, and we want them to have a will that will last them beyond that kind of fact pattern.
Very good. The next area that I was going to just kind of point out is with regard to control. We all know the story of the prodigal son, comes to his father, give me my inheritance now, gets the inheritance, goes out and, basically spends it, squanders it, and ends up pretty much destitute. Unfortunately, when, we're doing estate planning, there's nobody to come back to for the forgiveness and so forth and to, get back in the good graces. And it's a lot of times when you run across people that came across money either by hitting a lottery, a professional athlete, or whatever the case might be, and they get large amounts of money, and they've never been taught or really guided on how to manage it, they end up broke within a very short period of time. So as it relates to children, one of the mistakes that I kind of see is that, someone will leave money to a child at 18, 21, or 25 and just kind of give them a lump sum. And what I'd like to do, Bob, is maybe have you just kind of, expand upon the fact that what can someone do to kind of control a little bit and manage and assist children and protect them as it relates to managing the finances when they're not here?
Using a trust to protect your children is very, very important. Sometimes people look at it as only keeping money from their children, but it also protects the children. Today, in today's society, if a child goes to college and has to pay to go to college, they may have substantial bills from college. Giving them an opportunity to have some of that paid through a trust is a great opportunity. But in addition, if they have a lot of bills or they have to be protected from creditors, the trust also protects them from creditors. So sometimes, although it appears that you're keeping money from your children, you might actually be protecting them, and that has to go into as part of the plan. You really have to plan for where your children are, where you think they're going to be, and give them that protection.
Great. And then I guess the last thing that we would want to just make sure that our listeners understand is that you can have a great will, you can have a great trust, have all your documents right, But if you really haven't looked at how your beneficiary arrangements are and the ownership of your assets are, they may not work out quite the way you would like. So with that in mind, why don't you just take a minute and, you know, kind of update people on what that means?
Well, what that means is there are what are called probate and non-probate assets. Probate assets are assets that pass through your will, and they get caught in the trusts and the system that you've set up in your will. Non-probate assets are assets that go outside the will and are based upon beneficiary designations or the way you own property. So if you own a piece of property as joint tenants with rights of survivorship, that's not going to pass through your will. It's going to be covered by your deed. Same thing on an IRA or 401k or an insurance policy. The beneficiary designations are going to trump anything you put in the will.
Gotcha. So if we were to really sum up our conversation today, it sounds like make sure you have your documents updated, that they're current, that your intentions are spelled out pretty clearly. Use an attorney that really knows what they're doing as it relates to estates and wills. Okay, and then the last thing that I would point out is that you make sure that the ownership of assets as well as the beneficiary titles and so forth are the way that they should be as it relates to, you know, who gets what, how it's titled, and whatever the case is. And that being the case, you know, you should come out with a fairly, you know, effective estate plan. So on that basis, Bob, it was a pleasure having you on our show today. I want to thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
I know that your office is over in Freehold. Again, we'd like to thank our guest, Bob Munoz of Lamoro, Davison, Eastman, and Munoz. You've been listening to Discovering Responsible Wealth. This is Frank Congelos, your host. And if you'd like to follow up with us and you'd like some information, you could reach us at Institute of Responsible Wealth, 2431 Atlantic Avenue, and that's in Manasquan, New Jersey, or you can email us at info@iofrw.com. Again, that's info@iofrw.com. Thank you.